rather have Jesus than silver, gold. I'd rather be Jesus than have riches untold.
Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced stand
than to be the king of a vast domain.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name
than to be the king of a vast domain or be the Lord. Oh, go ahead and give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord today? I want to welcome you and your best friend to the service today. I really do. I want to welcome you and your best friend. They're both here. They're both here. But we so enjoyed the word of the Lord last night, didn't we? How many of you appreciate what you heard last night? How many of you know it's the truth? Do you believe that's the truth? God gives us exactly what we need, doesn't He? Amen. So good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Trust you've come to receive something from this service today and to make an input into this service. How many of you come to put something in? How many of you know you'll get something back out? You sure will. Why don't you turn around? Tell somebody this. God bless you, you great soldier of the cross. Amen. Play some more of that, guys. Let's say one more verse. Let's sing just a little bit more of that this morning.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful. to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather
the Lord. If you don't care to just to stand with me just for a few minutes, we don't have that many requests today. We have an unspoken prayer request. Brother Aaron Burns sends us in that he would like for the church to pray about. May God bless all of you. So let's remember that need today. The Willis family wants us to remember their grandbaby this morning. What is its name, Brother West?
Adelaide.
He has run a fever of 104 last night and needs God's healing touch. Thank you so much. That's not you. Who is this? Brother Randy. Randy, I'm sorry. What's the child's name?
Levi.
Levi. Well, remember Levi in prayer. We got too many Willises running around here. Praise the Lord. Well, actually, we don't have enough of them. I'll take that back. Praise the Lord. Jack Yance, we want to welcome to the service today Brother Tony Mason and his dad to the service from Alabama. His dad's name is Brother Jerry. Where are those folks at? Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Sister Charlotte Walmsley asked for prayer for her daughter and her son, her daughter and her son. She was engaged and her fiance passed away. They're both very upset, so they're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer. Also pray for her sister-in-law's daughter, who is 43, is an alcoholic. Pray for Brother Lee and Sister Charlotte. So we want to remember those folks in prayer today. Want to pray for the Moyer family from Ohio for God's complete will in their lives. So let's remember those folks. Have the church to pray for me. I'm having both knees replaced on Thursday morning. Sister Joanne Tessa, you're quite a lady to have them both done. I'm telling you the truth. You really are. Sister Anna Shipley wants to thank God for touching her and everyone who prayed for her and called and sent cards. She is so thankful to be in church this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Barry English, unspoken prayer request for the family. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Josh Pistole, not feeling well today. We want to remember him. Brother Warren Arndt, his family's back in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to thank God for that. They were here last night, and just Brother Jackie Benton was here last night in the service with us. I don't know that he's here today, but we're just glad that these folks are being able to come back to the house of the Lord. Let me make this announcement. There will be no service here this coming Wednesday night. No service this coming Wednesday night. All the youth are going to meet here to leave. They know the time and all the details, right? So that'll be taking place here Wednesday night. No service, but we will be having service. Yes, all that's going to the Louisiana Youth Camp youth, please go to the fellowship hall after service today. Anything else we need to know about that, Brother West? All right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Also want to welcome to the service this morning Sister Carol Reagan's sister, Sister Sharon, her daughter and her son-in-law and their newborn. They're visiting with us from Kentucky. Give those folks a nice hand this morning right back here. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad you're here. We trust that you've come to receive from the Lord today. Brother John Horniak, come this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord today. God bless you, brother. I appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, how we love you. Lord, how great thou art, Lord. My heart, Lord Jesus, is just overflowing. Lord Jesus, your presence so strong here this morning, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, that you've come down to this church, Lord Jesus, and you're fellowshipping with us, Lord, one with another, Lord. Lord, you speak to us lip to ear. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for everyone that's represented here, Lord, and how that you put that desire in our hearts to come and worship with you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we know, Father, that there's so many other things in this world that can pull on an individual, Lord, but you're the strongest pull in our life, Lord, and we're so thankful for that, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you're pulling on our hearts and you're wanting us to fulfill our purpose, Lord, just like you fulfilled your purpose, Father. Lord, you see these requests that we've had in our hand, Lord Jesus. Many, many needs, Father, but Lord, your purpose, part of your purpose, Lord, was to heal and to make better. Lord, you're just asking us for our purposes to come and ask you, Lord. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would take each and every one of these requests and heal them according to your purpose and your will, Lord. Have your way in the service. Help Brother Donnie get out of the way, Lord Jesus, that he might speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. And may we also get out of the way, Father, that you might fulfill us. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, Lord. We pray that you just be with each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in the service with us today and we fail to call your name, we want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. We love to help Brother Harry sing the verses. He does it so well. And we're just going to try to help him a little bit this morning. Singer, buddy.
I think. There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor, someone standing by an open door.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I can see you, Chris. Lord, I must be near forever, and I've never been this homesick before.
Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my Father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. Family gathering, sweet faces look familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I think I spread my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Now see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can't see my Father standing at the door.
This world has been a wilderness. This bride's ready for deliverance.
Now see the see the family gathering. Sweet faces look familiar, but no one's old, nobody's feeble anymore. Oh Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before.
Yes, now
see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for the
Amen. Our departure is at hand, I believe, don't you? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning, Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning. We'll go right on into the service. We have a baby dedication, so we want to give Brother Donnie plenty of time this morning to take his liberty and preach the word of the Lord to us. Appreciate these folks right here. Amen. I just want to say publicly to Sister Cindy, she is doing a phenomenal job with the choir. Is that right? Amen. And the choir is doing a phenomenal job for her. And it's all to the glory of God. So we want to say that we appreciate. We appreciate Sister Cindy and Sister Anna and this other group that's joined them this morning.
I don't comprehend. Test. 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 I don't comprehend all that I have been through, and I don't pretend to have answers for you. Yet through it all I can say, my God is faithful. Sometimes my nights seem like they'll never end, like a tide from the ocean that never comes in. Yet I know the morning will come, and what has been lost shall be won.
I still
to wane, when I cried my last tear and felt crushed by the pain, in a sweet, tender way, he's been there. He's so faithful. Oh, when my friends have gone on and I'm still left with grief, when I'm weak and I'm shaking like an insecure leaf, He gives me strength to move on, the courage and faith to be strong.
I still believe.
Let's sing a little chorus this morning as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word of the Lord to us. You're looking forward to the preaching of the word of God? Amen. Brother Harry, lead us in some kind of a little chorus. I'll go get the pastor. Praise the Lord.
D, I guess.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. Oh no.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Is that your determination today? You may be seated. God bless you. We have a baby dedication. They'll come and bring their baby. We'll dedicate it to the Lord. It's my name. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin.
Yes, Lord.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to
together. Heavenly Father, as Hope and Joe come today in your presence, should be able to dedicate their little son back to you in honor and recognition of you're the life giver and you're the one who gave him to their charge. His little name, Noah, the first time, Lord, that it was mentioned, it was a time of great distress upon the earth. And his parents said, truly during this time, maybe the Lord will give us comfort. We know the word Noah means rest. So Lord, I pray as we offer him back to you today, dear God, that you would just keep him from the evils of the day. Lord Jesus, may you help my brother and sister that they can be able to instill in him the great truths of the hour. May he hear Jesus' name mentioned every day of his life. May hear his mama praying, his daddy singing. May hear the word of God being played in their home. Then if he gets old enough to be able to receive you, Lord, before the evil days come, that the light can strike his soul. Granted, dear God, keep him, I pray, Father. We commit him to you today. Dedicate his life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. Inevitably, the mind of God desires for us by revelation to be able to see what he sees about us. How can an eternal being be able to reflect to creatures of time how he would look at such things? There's only one way by which he could do it. That's not just in even reading the word or hearing it read, but him by revelation making himself known to each of our hearts. Let's listen now. We want to get to this spot where he, in the wedding night, is now speaking to her. There's no guards there. There's no mother. There's no father. It's him and her. And this is where it boils down to you. Not me and you and God. Not your father and your mother and God. But you and God. Amen. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. A garden enclosed is my sister. Now this is a term of endearment in the Middle Eastern understanding of their language. My sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor, with spikenard. Now remember, the pomegranate is a mixed colored fruit, being two colors of flesh, as they call it, on the inside, both red and white, the cross. Spikenard and saffron, calamus, and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. And this is her humble reply. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. I want you to notice where she's at. The south wind in this portion of the world is the worst wind of all. It's the hottest, driest, most difficult wind. Generally, it forbids people from being on the outside to enjoy their enclosures. So the south wind drives you inside, while the north wind drives you outside. So she's in the contrast as we are. She recognizes it. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today in your great presence, we ask for divine revelation to strike our hearts today, that we would be able to see a little bit more clearly who we are by grace. Lord Jesus, we know by natural birth, we're born in sin, come to this world, born in death. But we believe that you specialize in raising the dead. Lord, I pray if there's one here today who is spiritually dead, may they hear the voice of the resurrection through this word today. May it give them life. For those who have already risen from the dead, may they realize that they are in this great contrast of the north and the south wind. That they, Father, are here in this greatest battle that's ever been fought, the battle of the mind. As we go with this little Shunammite, as she leaves her lowly home, couldn't even be called an estate, couldn't be called a great possession, but she's on her way to one. This is us. Help us, I pray, in our journey, that we can act as if though we believe that it's already happened. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's look, if you would, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What a peculiar man that we are looking at. What a peculiar people, son of this man, that we are looking at here today. Now, I want you to think, as we looked at it last Sunday, that God set forth his sovereignty, giving Lucifer the opportunity to express what he said that he was. That he would make the great challenge to the Almighty. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Yea, I will be like the Most High. And God gave him the opportunity to prove that upon the earth. And of course, we know the end result. He was not able to do it. The Lord God then brings the earth alive out of death.
He displays one of the first attributes of reconciliation through redemption. When he brings back something which was his, which had been quickened to life, which the curse came upon, and he brings it back to its renewed image or visage which God had given it in the beginning. He specializes, and as a matter of fact, he's the only one that can do such a thing. Now, I want to bring to you today, if the Lord will help me, the contrast between where we are in the natural realm and where we are in the spiritual realm. Knowing that we are living in this world between the north and south wind. That we are in the law, as Brother Branham called it, the law of contrast. And you know how it is, as we looked at it Wednesday night, that there in Acts, whenever the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul, and he made a great revelation known to Paul, he said, as you've witnessed for me in Jerusalem, so will you do in Rome also. And that was verse 11. In verse 12, the very next day, before daylight was even stirred around, an evil report was already stirring that there was people that was going to take Paul's life. But we'll look at it when I get back, Lord willing, from Switzerland. It really depends on how you look at verse 12 and how you let verse 12 be interpreted in your life. Actually, God gave verse 11 as a prophecy. Verse 12 is the first step in order of succession of how that prophecy will be fulfilled. He's going to Rome. What better way to get there than the Roman army itself? So sometimes when God tells us something and sickness and trouble and difficulty comes our way, it does not mean that prophecy is not coming to pass. God may be going to bring it to pass via trouble, via sickness, via heartache, but His word will come to pass. And that's where our faith, of course, must be anchored. And because we are living then in this law of contrast, it is a law which exists between light and darkness, sickness and health, good times and bad times, and we're all familiar with them as we know. Every one of us have experienced them in our life, and we will do so until our bodies are changed. But in this, it takes the blowing of the south wind, which intensifies the unbearableness of being on the outside in order to drive us into the inner sanctum of becoming in that alone place with God. But it is the reversal of the north wind that will come and blow the pleasantness of the fragrances that is in our life. It takes both actually to make them work. Now, from the epitome of what we're seeing here about the bride, that she's finally arrived to a place that she is acknowledging publicly what the bridegroom has said about her. He's saying all these great, wonderful things, and she struggled, as she's struggling now in her journey, to be able to accept that she is worthy of such a position. And we know as far as our flesh will never be worthy, never can be, but it is the soul that is worthy. Now, Him that has raised us from the dead. Now, we know that what happened in the Garden of Eden was similar to what happened to the earth itself. Maybe millions of years before this actually took place, when the earth and its tectonic plates and the climactic state of the earth and the glacial records that we see even now in science will look back into the glacial records and see through the geographical stages of the earth and find dinosaurs' bones and all kinds of sort of things like that. Those creatures lived upon the earth. You know, out here in Gray, they found them several years ago. They never even knew that they were there. So it proves that the earth went through this geological state, that there was different creatures upon the earth and there came a great destruction upon it. A cataclysmic change, and I don't believe that Satan was allowed to do that, but I believe it was God Himself. But the ground and the rocks and all of that hold the record or the account. Isn't it amazing that God had them to hold that account, and they are now finding out many of these accounts which took place right at the foundation of the world. So at the foundation of the world, in the rock and the stratosphere and all the things that's down, also the hemisphere and all this going up, in in there we record and see the great justice and mercy of God. So it's written in the earth, it's written in the sky, the same mystery of redemption that's written in your life. Now when God allowed this to happen, it could have annihilated it if he so wished. He could have totally wiped it off and buried him so deep between sediment and so on the earth that man would have never found him. But God let it go just deep enough where they would be preserved for thousands or millions of years, and that man would dig around and go to find it and say, well, here's this and here's that and here's that, and where's it buried? It's not buried in the sky, but it's actually buried in the earth, or in the layers of the foundation work of the earth itself. So in the foundation of the earth contains part of the mysteries of God. Praise the Lord. It's the same in the foundation of God that our names are not written in time, but written before the foundation of the world. Now, then God allowed death to come upon the earth, and then God was the only one who could bring resurrection and cause it to raise again. So when the earth now comes back up to its state to where it's supposed to be, God brings man on the earth. God allows, of course, the devil to do now in the second stage of his work. He allows him to come then to the human race and to pollute the human race. The human race by choice chose to go with death rather than life. Now it sets death in the entirety of the human race. So when we get up 18, 19 years old, maybe 20, then death starts working in our mortal body. No matter how many vitamins we take, supplements that we take, it don't make any difference. You'll never be able to reverse it. It's there working in you. Amen. But yet God now is going to choose to do the same thing. Out of the deaths of the human race, God will bring forth life out of death. As the Spirit of God moved upon the earth and overshadowed the earth, and Ruach Elohim began to flutter upon the earth, and out of this death he brought forth life, because life was buried down beneath the seas. And it's the same thing now in the human race, that God is going to do the same thing again. Out of the death of humanity will God bring forth the resurrection, which will be Christos, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, God's own purpose then is to write the same story. Now, here we see too that God done it in the earth. Now his plans is to do it the second time in the human race. And we know there must be a three, always, that God is perfected in threes and sevens and fifties and forties, that he's worshipped and all that. So God is now going to, out of the human race, he's going to bring the resurrection and life. Not out of the angelic race. He's not going to bring it out of cherubims or seraphims, but he chooses to bring death out of the human race. How in the world could you ever do such a thing when every mortal that is born under a timeline? Now, God actually allowed the Lord Jesus, the body of the Lord Jesus, to be born under the timeline. We know that eternity is a circle, and this little block drops out of time. Even scientists say that it is what they call the era of time. And of course, by their prognostication and what they're saying in the future, eventually our sun will get much larger and larger. As it does, animal life will cease to exist on the earth. Plant life will cease to exist. As our sun gets larger, the temperature on the earth will get higher and higher. Eventually our earth will be destroyed, so they say, and then the earth itself will become totally annihilated. The sun by this time will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it'll start caving within from the inside, and the sun will begin to burn up itself and annihilate itself. I wish I could give them a good book called Future Home. You know what? I'm glad that that's all science can produce. I saw a documentary this week, and it was the scientists and telling about all these things. I told Carol, I said, thank God we have got a hope. That's not what we're looking for. Aren't you glad we've got more than science today? We've got more than education today. We have got a promise of the living God. This earth will not be destroyed. Our bodies will be resurrected. So God brings himself into the era of time. In this block of time, as it falls back, it only goes one direction. Time cannot go backwards. time goes one direction. Why? It came out of the circle of eternity, which only spins in one direction. Eternity don't go backwards and forwards. It only goes forwards. So when time dropped out and it was an arrow of time shot, as it were, from the mercy bow of God, and it dropped down, it can only go one direction. Oh, you say, I'm getting older and I'm getting fatter and uglier. I know all that. So am I. But we're only going in one direction, and that is back to eternity. Glory to God. We will never be mortal again. You will never, hallelujah, once you are resurrected, you will never be mortal. Why? The arrow of time flies one way. And when it comes through this block of time, it comes right back up into eternity again. So the scene of death, we see them going out of the Garden of Eden. I closed that with it last Sunday, with them turning, looking back, waving to the trees, the plants, the animals. The bloody sheepskins have now hit both of their legs as they walked out, and the blood is running down their bodies. And God comes down right before they step out, and God says, stop. I want to let you know before you leave here, I promise you, I will bring you back. I will bring you back. It so moved the heart of God that God said, Eden is not Eden without you, Adam. Eden is not the same without you here. If you've got to leave, I'm going to leave with you. So God actually went outside the garden gate himself and set up cherubims there to protect the way back to the tree of life. And they set up the first altar that humans worshipped at after the fall on this east side of the Garden of Eden. They begin to worship, but now death has already set in the cycle. Death is already in motion. But yet God's plan has not been perverted at all. God's plan has not been set aside. As a matter of fact, verse 12 has just kicked in to fulfill verse 11. Amen. If you could only understand it, God cannot make it happen, but he knew it would. God knows everything that will happen in your life. It doesn't mean he always wants it to happen. But for the elect of God, we have one promise that is superior over all of our mistakes is, and that is, oh hallelujah, he will make everything work for the good to them who love God. In spite of our stupidity, in spite of our ignorance, in spite of our laziness, in spite of our slothfulness, the sovereignty of our God will bring us back to eternity, and nothing you can do or I can do or the devil will do will ever stop it. Can man ever bring life out of death? Man's tried reformation. Man goes into the inner cities. He tries education. He tries college degrees. Well, the problem with man is he needs more education. So we need to educate him more, and there'll be less sinners. We've got more educated people now than we've ever had, and we've got more sinners than we've ever had. We got more people on the earth today with more degrees than we've ever had in our life, and sin is more rampant than it's ever been. So education, professors, theology, degrees, that don't take it away. There's only one thing that'll take it away, and that's the life of the Lord Jesus. So we find God's light when the world was falling apart. 2,000 years ago, God's light penetrated the earth. Friends, we're sitting in a dangerous state today. Russia's got their finger on the button. I said last Sunday when I went to Russia in June, I was going to wear a Trump button. I'm not sure now. I think I might wear something else. We never know from one day to the next what holds for us. We're at the end time, folks. Everywhere around us, you don't even know from the short time we'll be in church or what news has transpired. But aren't you glad? I may not know what the day holds, but I know who holds the day. Amen. We know that our lives are in His hands. And all of this world, all of the things that's going on, there is a higher power. What's this? Has the Spirit of God moved upon the earth and said, let there be light? The condescension of God now to the human race sends an angel of God to a virgin and says, Hail Mary, you are highly favored in the house of God. You have found favor in His eyes. She could have stood there and argued with Him for 47 days and 47 nights, and I ain't worthy, and I ain't this, that, and other. But she believes the message from that angel. Amen. But there's still one more thing. He quoted Scripture, he identified the timeline, everything. There's one more thing that's got to happen. She's got to agree. And what'd she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. That released the power of God of creation. Lord Judah, can you imagine when that little virgin girl, insignificant as she was, but when she received that word into her mind and went down into her soul, and from her soul she gave God the release to begin creating in her the resurrection and the life. Oh, I wish you and I today could do the same thing, that we say, be it unto me, Lord God, be it unto me that your word can be fulfilled in the virgin form. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. What? Abolished it. And yet people's dying every day. You're dying while you're sitting here. I'm dying while I'm preaching to you. But death is abolished. How can this be? The contrast is in the mystery of Abraham's body. God lets him run out of his strength and deplete it. He's able to father an Ishmael as an old man, but he enters into the stage to where he can no longer produce the promise of God. And he acknowledges it. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I can't do it. So I refuse to look at how dead I am. I refuse to look at the deadness of my wife. And God said, now you have arrived. I can use you as a reflection of the resurrection. So let me get this straight, Abraham. You are looking to me as one who can raise the dead, right? Yes, sir. That's exactly what I believe, sir. That you can raise the dead. He said, right. All right. I'm going to write the mystery of redemption in your body. I am going to allow you to die. As far as fathering a child, I am going to allow you to die to prove to you I can raise you from the dead. Glory to God. Are we the seed of Abraham today? Do we believe God can raise from the dead? I ain't just talking about the graveyard. I'm talking about us, sin, nature, that dominated our lives. The devil, which dominated us as soon as we were born into this world, as innocent as that little baby was that I dedicated a while ago. Yet if time goes on, he was tainted by sin, by the natural birth. But do we believe today that God is the one who raises from the dead? God said, let me write the mystery of the resurrection in your body. I will hide my own coming in your body. Abraham. How you doing, Father of Nations? Doing pretty good today. How many kids you got? Millions. Well, where are they? In the mind of God. I just ain't got them yet, but they're on their way. He could count those things that were not as though they were. Why? Because he believed God could raise the dead. The earth's mystery is written in his life. The coming of Jesus is written in his life. My new birth is written in his life. My new body was written in his life. So here is a man that God allows him to die while he's alive. So he has no ability now to fulfill the promise on his own. And he waits and he waits and he waits, and the more he waits, the older he gets, the more decrepit he gets, and the farther away he gets from the promise of God. But he still believes it. And he counts as though it's already happened. Went down to Walmart and bought baby diapers and pens, and I'm saying in a way that you'll relate to it. Make arrangements with the doctor. They run him out one to another, and he run him out one to an obstetrician, and went to a surgeon, and went to, you know, all these kind of guys. Man, we're fixing to have that baby. I know we are. Why? He's acting like it's going to come to pass. When you and I take God's word and believe, well, I'm afraid to testify. Abraham was not afraid to testify. I'm going to have this baby. Sarah, don't you doubt Abraham. They don't even make any sense. My milk veins are dried up. They didn't have Playtex bottles then. My milk veins are dried up. Look at my blood pressure. You know how my blood pressure is. Sometimes I have to take a low blood pill on Monday and a high blood pill on Thursday and a low blood pill on Saturday. And I'm constantly alternating them back and forth. There's no way in the world I could ever live to bring forth a child. Sarah, don't you doubt it. You hang up that best friend of yours. That best friend of yours is telling you you can't bring that baby out. But Sarah, if God said so, he'll give you a new heart. Amen. He'll give you a new body. There you go, Abraham. There you go, Abraham. You believe God can raise the dead. Notice this in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? We are raised from the dead. I'm raised from the dead and I'm dying. I'm raised from the dead and I'm getting older. That'll change one thing, Brother Keith. I am raised from the dead. I am raised from the dead. Look at the earth. When God raised the earth from the dead, and he turned right back around after the fall and brought a curse back on it. And the earth is raised from the dead, living in a cursed condition. You are raised from the dead, living under a cursed condition of sickness and high blood and low blood and no blood and all kinds of trouble, and yet you're raised from the dead at the same time. Oh, hallelujah. So what do we look at? The curse or the resurrection? I wonder if we could tap into the earth's testimony this morning. You can tell by looking at her. She loves spring. You folks love spring, don't you? I love spring. You don't love it near as much as the earth does. You've been in the house in the wintertime. The earth has been the one. And buddy, whenever the suds of the spring solstice rolls around and the earth can put on just a little burst of her Eden beauty, can you imagine what she's longing for? Every spring is like a little touch of divine healing before the millennium. Woo! Glory to God, every spring is just a little bit of touch of divine healing, and the earth says, one of these days, I'll never drop another leaf. One of these days, a tree will never die, and spring testifies. Spring testifies there is a life, death, burial, and a resurrection. Look at her. Look at her. It's like she can't wait. The crocus, the dogwoods, the redbuds. Look at them. They're tearing out of the ground. But the earth is still under a curse. It's like when you get in the presence of God and get in the presence of the Word, your soul is tearing out of the ground. But you still got all your fears and your complexes and your inferiorities. So what are you going to do? Just sit around in winter depression? There ain't no need to get so happy about it. Winter will come again, probably. Well, what's even getting all tore up? That's a long way away, man. This is just April. Man, the older I get, the more I want to enjoy every sunny, warm, pretty day. Because I realize I could go at any time, and so could you. I want to enjoy every day of my life, whether it's raining or sunshine or whatever. Don't you, as a child of God? It's the same way spiritually. I can someone say, well, there ain't no need to enjoy this high place in God. There ain't no need to enjoy these moments of blessing. No doubt trials will follow it up. So I might as well just get in the frame of mind and get myself ready. I've got on my trial face. I could wipe this off, but why? This blessing won't last but maybe 24 hours. And I'll have to do all this work again. As good as some of us are, it don't take long for us to get that old trial look on our face. As a matter of fact, some of you, it's been so long since you've really had a good Holy Ghost smile, I'm not sure you still remember how to do it. But look at the earth. She absolutely is bursting with life. She's bursting with color. She's bursting with exuberance of life. And yet, she's still under the curse. So am I. So are you. But it's spring. No wonder the prophet preaches the shalom messages that he says to the world. To them I say good night. But to you I say good morning. Why? It's springtime. The Song of Solomon declares it in the spring revival. He says, the time of the winter is past, and the time of the turtle dove is in the air. What? Mates cooing to one another. The winter is past. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's cycles, really? I mean, what would you do if it was all revival? I'd shout a lot more, but you wouldn't appreciate it near as much. What if it was all health? What if it was living in the law of contrast between the north and the south wind? Whenever difficult times come, we can't wait for deliverance to get there. Whenever we go to having revival in ourself or in our church, we can't wait for it to get to what brings it, dry times. What did God write in Abraham? The mystery of the resurrection. I am going to raise this man from the dead, but I'm going to leave death in his body. So Elohim comes by his tent one day. We'll not take too much time on it, but you're familiar with the story. He doesn't change him maybe that day. Maybe it's a week that goes by or a month. We don't know exactly. But something happened to Abraham and Sarah. Their bodies were changed. And yet they were not permanently set free from death. Because Sarah dies at 130 and Abraham dies some years later. But he's now a very symbol of the resurrected dead. A new creation in the same old temple. Romans 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. How many still makes mistakes? How many needs to repent? Daily? Hourly? Momently? Secondly? Still need to repent. Well, how in the world then can we be a new creature? You're like the earth. You're raised from the dead. But the curse is still on this. You're still tilted. You're wobbling. You're wobbling. This is why you need the church. This is why you need the church. You understand with the earth being tilted on its axis at 23 degrees. If it was not for the gravity pull of the moon, the earth is tilted like a top. Can you imagine you trying to spin one of your children's tops and tilting it on 23 degrees and causing it to do it? Why will you never be able to do it? There's not enough gravitational pull to pull on the north pole and the south pole of that top in order to make it spin. But here we are sitting out here like this. And God put the moon out yonder. Amen. If it was not for the moon, the earth would do this. She'd go back and forth and turn upside down and toss around. But the church, oh glory, the moon is out yonder in order to keep the earth in this condition. When you go to pulling off by yourself and think, well, nobody knows that. We don't need nobody. You're heading for an orbital crash. We need one another. I need you. You need me. So here the gravitational pull of the moon. The core of the moon being the metallurgical structure that it's made out of. God placing it there when he made her. And knowing that the earth would fall. And whenever she'd tilt over, the moon would keep her right there. That's why the tides come in. And it takes 24 hours for the earth to rotate in a complete cycle. God knowing exactly every bit of it. You ever look at that globe? The earth ain't flat. Tell me how in the world that sometimes we're down on the bottom side down here and we're not falling off. Look at it. It is a circle. Everything on here is not up on flat. Some people right now are tilted on the bottom of this ball, hanging on the bottom side. And it's hanging out in the universe, spinning on top of that. Oh, Lord. How do we keep from falling off? How do we keep from getting sick? You set the pace just slow enough where you can turn and not get sick. Where you can hang on the bottom side and not fall off. That's the way I feel about life sometimes. I feel like I'm on the bottom side. I'm just hanging like a frog with my fingers, you know, lapped around something. I'm barely hanging on. It's part of the cycle, Brother Jim. It's part of the cycle. Sometimes we're here. Sometimes we're there. Sometimes we're up there. Aren't you glad in this age that God allowed man to go out and look back and take pictures of the earth and say, this is you, bride. This is where you are. Sometimes you're here. Sometimes you're there. Sometimes you're there. But you're all always where I want you to be. Why? Because you're alive.
Why? You're dead.
Romans 6:13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You are raised from the dead. God let the devil have his chance with you. Some of you had you for a long time. 20, 30, 40 years. Look what he done with you. Turns you into a liar, turns you into a drunk, turns you into everything imaginable. And God, by predestination, come over and said, now let me show you what can be done with him. You've shown what you can do with them. You make them dependent on drugs. You make them dependent on alcohol. You make them dependent on pornography. But let me show you what life can do. And God moved over that little seed in your soul and began to flutter. Hallelujah! And God delivered you from all of those addictions. And God set you free.
and makes you a new creature.
But still left you hanging.
Whoa, 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 whoa. So here you are, a miracle, alive from the dead.
But you have spring, summer, fall. How many enjoys mountaintop blessings from the Lord? The rest of y'all don't like them, we'll send them my way. I'll take them. Now, y'all have heard me say it before, but my, years ago it seemed like you go, you know, through trials and man, go up through these mountains. Them mountains are like the Alps. I mean, it just went for days and days and days and days of the mountaintop experiences. And you go down in the valley. Oh, it wasn't no time. You're back up on the Himalayas. Oh, you're on the top of the earth. But for the last how many ever years, them mountains are about like this. If you bat your eyes, you missed your blessing for the week. And you think, oh no, I snooze and I lose it. Man, I just batted my eyes and I missed my blessing. I don't get one till next month. Oh no, what happened? The law of contrast. And sometimes the southerly wind as it blows. Those of you that study the polar caps and know that the wind can be 100, 125 miles an hour on such extreme conditions at 100 below zero. Why? Because of the portion of the earth that it's on. But let me tell you something. The Arctic and the Antarctic was not made to be that way. They were not made to have ice caps on them. Glory to God. Amen. Scientists say the ice is melting. I say glory to God. I say the earth is getting ready. The earth is saying hallelujah. I'm getting ready to go into the millennium. I'm going to get rid of this ice. I'm going to get shed of this ice. Why? Because I'm going into the millennium. Amen. Amen.
I hope here today some of you get rid of some of your ice. Your cold heart and your cold condition. Praise God.
Well, I'm feeling right now, I don't think I even need a jet to go to Switzerland. Somebody send my suitcases on. I'm flying now. But you see, that's the way we are. People that take a needle and shoot into their veins and they escape into some other world somewhere of a delusion or something. Why? Trying to escape this world and its reality and its troubles. Oh, but God has given us a real escape in His presence. Can I go on? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You hath He quickened. Who? Where? That's the earth. Darkness covered the earth. So gross darkness covered our lives. This is what haunts some of you to this very day. Your memories of your past. You see, there's one thing the earth does not have. The earth does not have memory. So she cannot remember her primordial state. She cannot remember the state when the volcanics are exploding out of it and Satan is walking up and down on the earth and making his claim. It wasn't by mistake that God said to the serpent, on your belly you'll go and dust, dust will be your meat. What's man made out of? Dust. Dust. But there's one thing he can't eat. Glorified dust. He can eat mortal dust. Oh my, he's got a right. Oh yeah, he still tries to attack us every now and then. I feel myself going down and I mock that frog. Going down, you've seen the little cartoon of the frog going down the big bird's mouth and he's got a hold of a stick, whatever it is on the outside. And the sign says, don't never give up. So sometimes the devil tries to grab a hold of your body and afflict your dust with this and that and the other. I'll tell you one thing, be like Jacob was on the inside of the womb. If the devil goes down, goose kick around in his goozle, stick your thumb right in his esophagus, gouge him right in the upper cuss. Oh my, whatever you're doing, I make it tough on that old devil as he's trying to swallow you down. You know what he'll do? He'll do you like he done old Jonah. When he got down there, he said, Lord, I got this man now. He said, no, you ain't. You're fixing to regurgitate me, old boy. Amen. It'll be the same way with the devil. I'll do this and I'll do that. No, you won't. You're going to huff and puff and I'll blow your house down. I am resurrected. You and the earth can quote this same scripture. Even you hath he quickened who were dead. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Our brother Donnie, why in the world do we fight such battles? You're still tilted. But sometimes I feel so alone. I understand. The earth does. There's billions and billions of stars and planets out here. And I imagine if we could ask her, she'd say, I feel so alone. I'm the only one with life. I'm the only one that God called my name in his Bible. Can you show me Mars in the scripture? Can you show me Jupiter in the scripture? Can you show me Venus? Can you show me the other nine planets in the scripture? Nope, they're not there because Earth's name is in the book of life. And she could say, I feel so alone. Depends on how you look at that alone situation though. You see, your best friend, your flesh will tell you, nobody loves you. God don't love you. God don't care for you. But if you'll pull it right back in the right state, you say, shut your mouth, devil. I am alone in the sense. I'm the only one out of my family. I may be the only one out of my cul-de-sac. I may be the only one in my whole job that believes the truth. But I've got life in me. Oh yes, I'm still tilted. I still have ups and downs and I've still got ice caps on my polar. I do. I admit all of that, but the change is coming. Amen. The change is coming because the mystery of my life was wrote in Abraham.
Where are we going today, Abraham? Oh, I thought we'd go down to the clinic. Is that the one they throwed you out of last week? Yeah, that's the same one, but I'm hoping there's a different doctor on call. Is the doctor in? Said, yes, sir, you need arthritis, or is it rheumatoid, or is it crippling? No, we're going to have a baby.
Man here last week, so tall, had a long beard. He said, psycho case. He said, sir, if you'll stand right here, what size coat do you wear?
Let's go, Sarah. See y'all.
Maybe they went home that night. He hung up his cane. He started talking to the Lord. Talked to the Lord a little bit. Said, Sarah, I'll see you tomorrow. Said, I would kiss you, but it's such an effort.
That's all right, Abraham. Just send me one airmail.
Night, darling. Good night, Abraham. Seemed like a regular kind of night. Pains and aches and all that was normal. Cattle and sheep and goats making the same normal sounds. But God said, you'll not get up in the morning the same way. Lord, shall I hope you
One of these nights it'll be the same way. You'll check your Fox app before you go to bed, and CNN or MSNBC or whatever more. You brothers that's in the metals, you'll check your copper and gold. Oh, Lord. Oh, titanium has went to so-and-so. Gold. Oh, good night of living. You just check your normal schedule, brush your teeth, go to bed. And God says, today is your last day to be immortal.
Oh my, hallelujah, glory.
Before the sun rises, I will have you standing upright.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Children, this ain't a dream. It ain't a dream, Brother Dale. It's a promise of God.
Amen.
Imagine him as he wakes up early. He notices he feels different. More energy. Maybe one of his servant guys had heard of some kind of herb product from down in Egypt. He'd been taking it for 3 or 4 days and thought, wow, that herb is something. Man alive. Herbal energy boost. Whoa. I'm recommending this to Sarah. He jumps up out of the... Whoa. I ain't felt like this since I was 20. Now remember, they lived in Bedouin type tents, so it was real dark. Goat's hair. Real dark. She hears him up. Abraham, you up? He said, yeah. Oh, I feel so good this morning, Sarah. I'll tell you one thing, glory to God. Abraham, hey, now be careful. You know, you're so bad to shout and stuff. I'm scared you're going to hurt yourself. We have to use a little bit of wisdom. She looked over in the corner. He was cutting up one. I mean, he was just having a fit. Yeah, Lord have mercy, poor fella. He's went off. He went off. It's his son. It's these promises. Drove him mad. Reached over and grabbed a hold of the curtain and pulled it up. And when he did, the light was piercing right through just a little crack like this. And it hit her on the face. And he looked at it. My God. It's happened. It's happened. We've been raised from the dead. Can't you see what God done when he reached and grabbed a hold to the curtain of darkness and pulled it upon the earth, and the earth started, wow, glory, I'm being raised from the dead. Lord, children, I don't know what time it'll be. Eastern time, African time, Europe time. The main thing is it'll be Son of Man time. All over the earth, a global change. No doubt, maybe just a few days, or weeks, or months before Russia has her attack planned. Everything will happen so fast in the tribulation. As soon as you're gone, great cataclysmic changes must transpire quickly. There'll only be 3.5 years left upon the earth to do everything that needs to be done. But I'm not worried about it in the first place, because I don't plan on being here. Why? I've already raised from the dead. My spoiler caps mean nothing. The ice on the top of my head and on the bottom of my feet, spiritually speaking, mean absolutely nothing. I am warming up. Amen. I am warming up. I am putting God's spiritual microwave. I am rotisserating around the program of God, and my ice is melting. My coldness is getting away. Hallelujah. And the next thing's going to happen is my body. Why? I've been raised from the dead. Can I have a few more minutes? Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and rise. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall. give thee light like you did the earth. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Abraham believed in a God who could raise from the dead. Within the dead Adam, A-D-A-M, of our natures, God has raised us from the dead. And the token life has been restored in its fullness in the evening time. I don't discredit Luther, Wesley, or Pentecost, but hang with me now. We've got more than Luther had. We've got more than Wesley had. We've got more than Pentecost had. I had the Pentecostal experience, and it was not enough to lead me on. Oh, it led me to it. But I had to be born. Oh, hallelujah. In order for that attribute to come, what? The earth moved to the second stage under the blood of the Lord Jesus. As you near your rapture, the earth is nearing hers. She's going to be in rapture. In rapture. Notice Romans 4:19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was chosen by God to illustrate the power of the resurrection in a dead man and make him a live man in a dead man. Did he have his troubles? He did. Did he have problems? He did. Did he keep on having them? He did. Will you? You will. But you learn by God's grace. Notice in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Not was it written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Here we come now to the beginning of the new cycle with the second Adam. The same cycle going on as it did at the fall of the first Adam. We not only believe he got up, we believe we got up with him. That's the starting of the cycle 2,000 years ago. Don't stop there. You've got to be raised in him and walk in the newness of life. Let's stand together. Praise be to God. Amen. Listen to this now, greatest battle ever fought. It can batter against you, but it can't get you until you accept it. When Satan walked up to Eve and said, you know, the fruit's pleasant, she stopped for a moment. Oh, that's when she made a mistake, when she stopped for a moment. Don't stop for nothing. You've got the message. Jesus lives. God's a healer. That's the message. Amen. The message is not Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram. Come on now. The message is Jesus is alive. God's a healer. That's the message. What good does it do me to point you back to something God done 40 years ago? I need his power right now. You young people, you old people, we all need his power right now to testify of his resurrection as we are struggling on our tilted axis. Oh my, notice this and I'll close. She stopped for a moment. That's when Satan walked right into that mind. Wow. When she stopped for a moment and Satan... But Brother Donnie, you just preach about all this that we are, right? But this part is still like this. Satan can still walk into your mind and mine. Satan walked right into that mind and said, now watch now, here's her best friend herself. Well, it sounds reasonable. Oh, don't do that.
Just take what God said. We say, well, I hope I can get all right. I hope I'll be well. I hope I got the Holy Ghost. I hope I'm a Christian. I hope I do this. You don't want that. Abraham never looked in that. Amen. Against hope, he still believed God's word. Faith is beyond hope. As a matter of fact, the prophet said it over and over again. Hope is faith's greatest enemy. Faith's greatest enemy. I hope I'm in the bride. I hope I'm in the rapture. I hope I can do it. I hope I can do it. No, I believe. Why? Because I believe in him who raised from the dead, and I believe in the cycle of that resurrection. For preachers who want to make your flesh glorified and saved, they're not telling you the truth. The prophet of God tells us you're going to have a carnal, sticky nature, and it's going to bother you as long as you live. The thing you ought to be grateful is it bothers you. When you was out there in the world, it didn't bother you. You liked it. But now it bothers you. Why? You're raised from the dead. Praise God. Oh, if you come around and say you don't feel any better, your conscience has even gone to that. That flue is so clear, it shouts hallelujah. The outlet blows a whistle. Glory to God, it sounds out certain. It's as clean and clear for the word of God to flow through the power of God. That's the main thing. There's your battleground. Your battleground is back here at the beginning. Back here in the soul. Back in your mind that opens. The mind is the gate to the soul, the gate to the spirit rather. Your mind opens up and accepts the spirit or rejects the spirit. Amen. And the church said, Amen. How does it feel to be raised from the dead? You are one of the few on the face of this earth with over 6 billion people who are raised from the dead. As the earth is the only planet among billions, they are all dead. But she was brought to life, fell, brought to life again, fell, and fixing to be brought to life the third and final pull. And when he brings her this last time, the volcanics will explode. And for hundreds of miles on the face of the earth, God will take it down. The very records of time will explode. Now she'll enter back into the eighth day where you have already entered. He will remove the scars of the climactic stage in her primeval beginning. He don't want the earth with no complexes in the millennium or in the eighth day. Now think of it as far as sin itself. He wouldn't have to go but 3 or 4 feet deep. Why is he going so deep? Get rid of all the records of time. Take it back down below dinosaur bones and back below where the stratosphere and all the different things is written. You know how the rocks go up and down. Take it back there to the primeval state and start from there. It's seed. And when he does, there will be no more seed. Will there be sun, moons, and stars? I don't know. I'm fixing to find out. I'll let you know. I don't know what it holds for us out yonder. But I know there'll be no more sea. Right? We know there'll be parks and avenues and streams and rivers. No more sea. The earth will so change. She'll come into that final attribute of the eighth day, that purpose that was in his mind. These stages have been temporal stages of her existence dealing in the timeline. But she will walk into her reality the way you've walked into yours. And once we finally get our change, my friends, he will go deep enough down into our memory, our conscience. Actually, he'll take your human spirit and pull your human spirit. Now, if we're alive and remain, this is what will happen. We will take the body to meet the theophany. And somehow before we get there, our human spirit will have left our body. You were not made to have a human spirit. You were made to have a soul, a theophany, and a glorified body. But in the timeline, you've got a seed, a soul, and you've got a human spirit, and you've got this body. But if you're alive, you will take the body to meet the theophany. Before you get there, your spirit leaves. With it goes memory. Conscience. Human affection. All those things that have tripped us up all through life. What's he doing? He's burning it down beyond all the glacial periods of your life. All the scars of your daddy done this and your mama done that. And this person treated you that way and that way. He don't want nobody in heaven with a complex. He don't want nobody in heaven with no dinosaurs in your records. So what's he do? He eliminates the human spirit, which is the channel of information of your being. He cleans all that out. And then you, the seed gene, takes the body, the glorified body, to meet the theophany, and you all go. And your theophany steps inside of you, and there you know all things. This is little bitty taps of it that we get in the services sometimes. From your theophany. But can you imagine when our spirit is gone, memory, affection, imagination, all that, and it totally leaves us, and all of a sudden the theophany steps in, that ever-present knowledge, and it steps right in. Finally, you will know that you were before the world began. You believe it now, and it's breaking to us. It's breaking to us. But we're still dealing with these outer realms. But when that, you imagine if we had that theophany now, Lord, if we heard this kind of preaching and that theophany, we'd tore this building down. But we're still filtering it. We're pulling it through our flesh. We're pulling it through our spirit. There'll be no more oddities among us, no more differences, no more clashes of human nature. We'll be able to look around at one another and know as we are known. And then you'll know like Jesus did. I have existed before. Not in a body now, but in the mind of God. Oh, let me hustle. Oh my. I hope you don't think I'm nuts. Well, I hope you don't think I'm too much nuts. I mean, I am nuts. I know that. I am a mystic. I am a mystic. That's one who believes in the mystical. You are a mystic if you got the Holy Ghost. A true one, not this out here. Lord, children, I love you so much. I don't want one of us to be missing that day. I don't want none of you going through the tribulation. You don't want to wind up in such a place as that. Let's be ready. If you've not raised from the dead, may the resurrection come to you today. May He raise you. By His power. May we start learning, those of us that have been saved for many, many years and adult Christians, may we learn by the grace of God. The resurrection from the dead does not eliminate the humanity that is left, no more than the earth. The earth can testify of His resurrection power. She's doing it now. It's in me, she could say, to produce all this. Look at what I am. But before we know it, August will roll around, September. The leaves will start falling. She'll go back into that cycle again of another winter. But is the earth depressed? No. She knows. He has abolished death. I'm just waiting for my body to catch up with it. How many saints of God have we buried? How many have we buried over here and over in Kingsport and whatever more? Some of your hearts here today got a hole in it, as we'd say, an empty cause of a wife or a loved one. But aren't you glad today we believe in a God who raises the dead? Brother Tom, she's waiting for you, Betty. A young woman standing at the river waiting for you to cross over. You believe it, saints? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus. And maybe I'd like to be remembered today, just wherever you are in your walk with God. You just ought to be remembered. Me too. Oh God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day.
Thank you for last night. So different from last night and today. I must say I'm amazed. I thought I would deal with this for maybe 10 minutes or so and then go on into pulling it back together with last night. But that wasn't your plan. Make me always sensitive, Father, that I can follow your leading, Lord. Oh, how many planet Earths do we have standing here today that were lost? Darkness covered the face of the deep. They were spinning out in the universe. No purpose, no goal, no aim, no motive. Satan had destroyed them seemingly. Made a wreck out of them. But all of a sudden the Spirit of God moved upon their lives as you did upon the earth and said, let there be light. For many of them, Lord, they'd been in this journey for 30, 40, 50 years, maybe some of them more. They've dealt with the humanity. They've dealt with the curse of the earth. But Lord, for many of them, their determination is greater tonight, today rather than it's ever been. But maybe there's some here that's discouraged, sick, afflicted. Maybe the polar caps are gaining ice and they're feeling coldness in their heart, Lord. They still read their Bible. They still try to pray. They still attend church. But Lord, they just don't feel warm like they should towards you. They just feel indifferent somehow. They feel cold. Lord, as we know, that certainly is not complementary to growing season for the seeds of God. With business and things of life and things around us, it can be so easy to become so wrapped up in those things. And before we know it, we just don't feel the same. We go to feeling cold, and the plants in our garden, our pomegranates, become frostbitten, as it were. The saffron and the cinnamon, it doesn't do well in such cold nights. May you move on every heart today, Lord. Mine included, Lord Jesus. May my garden always be a garden with the correct atmosphere for growth. Lord Jesus, help each person here today. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Those that will stream the service, may the Spirit of God move upon their hearts as well, wherever they are, their location, Lord. Father, you see, as we plan on leaving Tuesday to go to this meeting in Switzerland, the saints in Europe and parts of Africa, Lord, under such anticipation of these meetings, I count it such an honor, Lord, to be able to be there with such men of God, men of great, great caliber. I thank you, Lord, for men of God that stand for the truth of the day. May you go before us, Lord. May you visit us in a special way, Lord Jesus. Then, Lord, our youth will be heading for Louisiana in the camp. I pray, Lord, may the great resurrection, maybe some of those young people there will be gathering there with habits in their life, and Lord, some of them contemplating suicide and whatever more. May the resurrection show up at that camp. Hallelujah. May the same one that said, let there be light, may you break the darkness around from many a young person's life, Lord. Granted, I pray, fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. May they go back to their homes and their churches, their lives changed. Give them strength to deal with the solstices of their lives while they're still tilted in this axis of time. We love you, Father. Pray that you watch over me and Carol as we travel, Lord. Bring us back home safely to the flock, your Father. Keep them while I'm gone, Lord. You know my heart is a shepherd's heart. I fret over them when I'm gone, especially out of the country where I couldn't get back to them within a pretty short period of time. But I always have to keep in mind I'm only the under-shepherd. You're the great shepherd. So they're not just committed to my care as it was. When I'm gone, they're committed to your care. We're always committed to your care, Lord. So watch over them, I pray. We love you, Lord God. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Oh, think of it, friends. You today and the spiritual solstice of your life, the resurrection is on. You're blooming. These are the things he sees in you. The calamus, the frankincense, the myrrh, the pomegranates,
You may not see it the way you want. I may not see it the way I want. But I must tap into what He sees. He sees conditions in my soul and your soul that are conducive for growth. That we must be a mature garden for the rapture. He'll not come for a garden that's just been plowed. He won't come for a garden that's just been disc up. But she must be in full fruition. This is why the works will be so rapid. A young person may come to God down there next week. In 5 months, who knows, they could grow so fast. They'd be right to where we are of all that they need to understand. And the rapture can take place because of that rapid growth. Praise God. We worship You today, Lord Jesus. We bless Your name, Lord. If there's anything in our lives that displeases You, show it to us, Father, so we can get rid of it, Lord. Send a gardener, a pastor, a preacher among us and dig out any weeds or any vines that would be unbecoming to a heart of bitterness and whatever more, Father. We love You, Lord. Thank You for coming to the earth, Lord Jesus, to bring us a resurrection. You had to condescend from eternity in the form of fluttering wings, as it was, to the planet in order to bring life and light after its fall. You had to condescend down to the human race in order to bring light and life to the human race. And this day You have condescended again. The Son of Man has come down. And the prophet tells us and proven His word, hallelujah, that the two will be united through the ministry of the Son of Man. And He says, we are not going to the wedding. We are going to the marriage supper. The Son of Man, Christ Jesus, is on the earth today, uniting Him and His bride together. Praise God. We are already united in marriage. We're just waiting for the pictures. Praise God. We're just waiting for the pictures and the reception. Amen. We're already joined together. Oh, we worship You, Lord Jesus. Can we just love Him a little bit, saints, before we go? Oh, my, He's been so good to us. Don't get discouraged if you're sick. Don't get discouraged if you're despondent and dealing with bad things in your life. Remember, it comes with the earth. It comes with it. But God will help you through your sickness. God will help you with your battles and diseases and whatever more. Just don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. You're raised from the dead, Abraham's seed. You can testify to it. Hey, sing something for us. Let's just worship Him a little before we go. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God.
I hear the call.
Yes, Lord. Amen, Father.
And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I come and take.
all of us.
I feel
Lord God, I'm so glad I've heard.
Thank you, Jesus. Can't you see what Satan wants? He'd love to be able to control the nuclear powers of the world. so man would be able to basically annihilate himself and throw the earth out in its primordial orbit again. Why reverse the life that God put on it? He had love for nuclear war to be so catastrophic that it would annihilate all life. Then he could throw it back in God's face. You raised it from the dead. I killed it. But he will never allow it. Same with you. He'd love to make you cold and indifferent and hard and, you know, just all my... Oh, but friend, he wants to warm you. He wants to warm you with his presence. God bless you. I know you know I'm sentimental and I hate to close today. I love y'all. God bless you. If the Lord was to take either of us while we're apart, let's make this promise. I'll meet you over yonder. If you go before I go, be standing there by the river waiting for me, will you? And if I go before you do, I'll be there waiting for you. I want to spend eternity with you all. I hope you feel the same way about me. I know I'm talking about after I'm changed and I'm likable and all that sort of thing. I won't be preaching at you no more and pumping my bony finger and then y'all can, I love you, Brother Donnie. That's how I'm praying to love you, Brother Donnie. But we're going to be identified together for eternity. Look for me, Harry. Let's sing this as we go. God bless you, Brother Darrell. I'll be here next weekend. Brother Mike Price, Brother Doug Baker going to Korea. Myanmar, I forget where all they're going. Also, Brother Mike's leaving on Tuesday. Brother Danny's leaving on Tuesday. Going to be an interpreter for some meetings in Spain. So a lot of meetings going on. It's a great time to have it. Easter. Time of the resurrection. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll be back in about 10 days or so, something like that. So coming out, I think, on the 21st of April, about 11 o'clock or so that night. So just remember some prayer. God bless you. Let's sing it together. When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenues, praise God, and you all its beauty and its splendor. Let's sing it together now. Remember there's just one request I make of you. Oh, look for me. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million may be true.
Look for me, for